You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. It is time for our weekly visit with Diana West, a fabulous longtime syndicated columnist and now blogger par excellence. You can read her writings at dianawest.net, also frequently at the Daily Caller, among other places. She has been contributing mightily, not only to our thinking on many of the national security and related topics of the day, but to that of millions of Americans, among other things, through her terrific books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character, which is very much a deep dive on how U.S. Kremlin relations over the years have been deeply problematic, shall we say, for the United States. And Diana, there seems to be a lot of that going on at the moment. Welcome back. It's good to have you.
Yes, thank you. Yes, problematic, and I think most importantly, lied about.
I want to start by asking you to do a little truth-telling about this. I have put in my commentary today an observation that I think Donald Trump's determination to improve relations with Russia is no secret. It's been, you know, evident since his the early days of his candidacy, at least. But the question occurs to me, and I wonder what your thoughts are on it, that as he has pursued this policy approach, sometimes it would seem in ways that are ill-advised or at least optically problematic, that Putin may be taking away from all of these interactions, most especially at the G20 this past week, a sense of Trump actually being weak or even appeasing him. Were that to be the case, what are the implications based on your knowledge of how guys in the Kremlin see these things?
Well, obviously, that would be very dangerous. I think that Trump's behavior is something that we can't see in a vacuum, however. I think that the haplessness of this administration, and his, which of course includes his behavior, is a broad and deep and extremely alarming fact that we have to grapple with at this point and hope to nudge them in different directions. Putin must be laughing up his sleeve at the machinations of this entire nation, focusing on Russian collusion separate from Trump's efforts to somehow conjure up better relations. If Trump were truly building up America's nuclear arsenal as he was cultivating a better relationship, I wouldn't have a problem with it. That was something he discussed as a candidate. Candidate Trump and President Trump are almost two different creatures.
Just to come to your larger point, I think, is there's a lot of blame to go around here in terms of turning a blind eye to various aspects of problematic relationship with Russia over the years, notably what the Congress has done in terms of what I think can only be defined as collusion with the Russians under the previous administration. We've talked about, as I did with Congressman Scott Perry a moment ago, this initiative called Skolkovo, Diana West, but put the piece of this that is the role that Congress is playing into this perspective as well.
Well, Congress is playing a very dangerous role because even though the Republicans have the majority, they are doing nothing to support the president in terms of their own constitutional role as finding out what is going on. Their investigative role is so important here. And we just see this week, Bill Browder, who is at the center of this controversy in many ways that would take more time to discuss, his appearance, much anticipated, before the Judiciary Committee, postponed. Glenn Simpson, the purveyor of the firm that commissioned the so-called Russian dossier, again, a whole nother discussion, decided he didn't want to appear before that committee and isn't. Susan Rice, on another committee, has decided that she, too, will not come to Congress to discuss unmasking, which again feeds into this larger issue that we're looking at and still utterly, utterly neutralized by in terms of functioning as a normal country. Congress has it's part of the deception if they are not going to do their job to answer the questions and get the facts out. And that, I think, is where things become extremely alarming. They alarm me more than Trump's running around the G20 dinner table, frankly. I am much more concerned about the domestic scene in terms of its own effect on paralyzing this government and, getting back to your kind mention of American betrayal, participating in a complete substitution of what appears to be a concoction of history that will replace our reality as we've observed it and tried to understand it for posterity. And I think that is extremely dangerous, explosive, and we don't even know the effects of at this point yet. We're really playing with fire, and nobody wants to put it out.
To the contrary, it seems as though most of the folks who are currently in these investigative roles are arsonists.
You know? Yes, they're either dog and pony show. Right. The Democrats are arsonists. Yeah, and the Republicans don't. They're just pretending. I can't emphasize that enough. There are very few, perhaps with the exception of your previous guest, Scott Perry, there are very few who actually are doing their job and are doing anything more than participating in the same kind of dog and pony shows we've been watching for years, whether it was Benghazi or anything else. We don't get to the bottom of anything, and that, I've decided, is what they see as their role in this world.
Which raises a question that we talk about from time to time with you and other guests, Diana, but I think it's worth revisiting at this juncture. The role of Republicans in Congress, again, with notable exceptions, including Scott, is, it seems, much more closely aligned with fellow members of what you might think of as the establishment, the sort of bipartisan elite, to the extent that they are hostile to Trump on both sides of the aisle and may share, as illogical as this would seem, a common antipathy to his presidency and a willingness, therefore, to harm it or even undermine it, perhaps prematurely terminate it. Would that not be a thesis that better fits the facts as we see them today than the explanation that they just don't seem to know what they're doing or seem to have a bead on the problems at hand?
I'm afraid so, and I think that it becomes the only thesis that really fits what we're looking at this point in our history, for sure. Yes, I mean, this is where you see give the impetus for discussions of slow coup or quiet civil war. This is definitely what is going on. And getting back to the haplessness of the Trump White House, they don't know how to deal with this. He never explains anything to us. Tweeting is not enough. He needs to talk to us the way candidate Trump talked to the American people, spoke at length, rambled discursively, but spoke right to the core of what was on people's minds and expressed himself in his way with tremendous courage and forcefulness. We're not seeing that president anymore. I don't know what happened to the man. He's a different person than he was when he ran. But this kind of thing needs to be taken to the people, whether it's the president himself, who should certainly be playing a role, or his people, or his counselors, all of the slick people he's got in that White House who are serving, frankly, I mean, we talk about the Congress. We have a White House filled with people who are enemies of the Trump agenda at the highest levels. And this is one of, I think for me, is the biggest mystery of my own professional career. I don't understand that White House. I don't understand how President Trump put that White House together. This is not what you know we would expect for the Make America Great Again, America First presidency. This is more of the swamp, and it's a horrifying specter.
Diana, thank you. It's grim tidings, but very important. We appreciate your time as always. We look forward to continuing this conversation with you next week. Harold Rode joins us up next from Israel. We'll get his view on the ground there and more right after this.